Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Justin. How's it going?
It's going fairly well. I can't be going that well for you after last night, because last night was a bit embarrassing.
Like, I worked 14 hours yesterday, so it made it a little bit easier just to come home and go straight to bed. So I didn't want to watch any of it. People were updating me. I mean, everyone at the office knows I'm a Raiders fan, so everyone would come to me at like 8 and 9 o'clock. Dude, have you seen the score? Dude, have you seen the score? I'm like, just go away. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think they're tanking. I mean, they have to be. But I was listening to a podcast today, and they're like, even if you're tanking and you know you're tanking, you don't have to lose by 31 points to a 1-17. Like, you can lose by 7 points. It's okay.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. And, I mean, it really hurt me because I'm in a Superflex league, and I'm playing Greg Smith of 2QBs.com this week. And he had Winston as his second quarterback, and so he picked up Mullins.
Of course he did.
And he had Kittle in his lineup. So all of a sudden I'm down by 42 points after the first game. So,
well, at least you weren't like me and had Wentz and Dalton on a bye, so stream Derek Carr. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. It's been a little while since you and I have kind of talked. Should we do like a board bet update?
Yeah, we had the bye week last week. Me and you, we were on the bye. Mm-hmm. So that was previously scheduled. Everything's good. but yeah, where do we stand on these board bets?
So let's take a look. We haven't talked in almost 3 weeks now, because you recorded with Mike the week previously because of the birth of my child. So I currently have a 15-8 lead.
So it's probably tied whenever you incorporate the mic bets that I've done, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those don't count.
No, it's still a thing. We discussed it.
Our last week, in week 6 that we talked, we had a bunch of bets that didn't play.
Yeah, I remember Dalvin Cook.
Uh-huh. The Randall Cobb versus Street Brown and Scantling. Didn't play, unfortunately, because Randall Cobb didn't play. So,
yep.
It was actually the first time you beat me in a week, though, this season.
Okay, so just keep the bets to like 3 or 4, and then I can win?
I guess have a bunch of them canceled out because of people injured, and you've got a shot.
Yeah.
So we have three season-long bets going still. Galladay versus Marvin Jones, season-long and standard points. You got a big boost last week.
Yeah, that's actually going to be more interesting now with Golden Tate out of the picture. So yeah, it's kind of just a two-headed horse now.
And then Keelan Cole versus D.D. Westbrook in season-long points. That, of course, didn't have it's been a weird couple weeks for that. And then you're crushing me in the Evan Ingram is a top 7 tight end.
Yes, so season-long is where I should stay. I'll know that going into next year.
Yeah. So, but you got a lot of making up to do, so why don't we get right into our Week 9 preview. We won't talk about the Raiders and the Niners, obviously, because they already played, but hopefully people did not play their Raiders and played all of their Niners, which...
Yes, I'm sure that happened.
Yeah, seemingly unlikely. So, let's start with the Buffalo Bills hosting the Chicago Bears. What do you got on this one, Colin?
This seems like a trap game to me. We saw what the Bills did last week against New England. Now, granted, it was in prime time. You know, they're the only team going. They got to show that they can't, you know, look like the Raiders on a prime time game.
And they don't have Peterman starting for them.
Yeah, true. But the spread, the last time I looked, and the one that I bet on was Chicago was 9-point favorites. It seems a little high. It seems a little high to me. It really does. Nate Peterman is Nate Peterman. So there is that, but Chicago's offense just it's not gelling, you know? They had that 1-6 touchdown game, which me and you both said, Mitch Trubisky, we're probably not going to see that the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think Buffalo's defense is actually pretty viable. I mean, against the pass, they're top 6 defense against passing yards in the NFL. Whenever you're going up against Mitch Trubisky, I mean, it's probably going to be right in that range.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is going to be a super high scoring game. I still think the Bears cover this one. So I just, the Bills are really, really bad. The Bills may have the worst offense in the NFL, and that's saying something after watching the Raiders score 3 points against the Niners. And Peterman somehow is a downgrade from someone who is stocking shelves and playing golf the week before. So I don't know that you can start any Bills other than McCoy as a flex play.
Still no bills for me. I'm staying on that train
Well,
all
you may
year.
not be in a position right now where you can afford to stay away, though, because we're talking about six teams on a bye this week.
Yeah, that's true.
You may be forced into playing McCoy as your number two running back or in your flex. If you're truly desperate, Zay Jones has looked really good.
He did. Yeah, he had a few catches last game, but that was with Derek Anderson. So we're moving over to
For
Nate
sure.
Peterman. And for a guy that did not draft LeSean McCoy this year, that's why I'm kind of saying I'm staying off the train. But there are people of obviously that did draft him this year, so you're probably going to end up putting him in your lineup somewhere. But as far as a DFS play, stay away from all your bills. On Chicago's side, that two-headed monster in the backfield, I think they do really well in Buffalo.
I don't know. Buffalo did a pretty good job against the Patriots' run defense.
Yeah, Kenyon Barner and James White, who doesn't run. I mean, he's
Cordell
their passing guard.
Patterson
Exactly.
got
So
10 carries.
give me Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard over that mixture
Yeah.
of guys and
Howard's been so hit or miss, and it really depends on usage. I mean, one of the reasons he got 22 carries last week versus the Jets is because they grabbed that early lead. And Cohen really didn't do much after he had that screen play that goes for 70 yards
Yeah.
on what, the first play of the game.
There was like no one
Yeah.
anywhere. I mean, you look at the all 22 tape, and he had green grass before he even caught the ball, straight to the end zone. Like it was insane.
So
But
if you don't count that, he has, I mean, obviously you count that because it's what happened in the game, but if we look past that and look what he did for the rest of the game, he had 5 carries for 40 yards.
and how many catches did he
Zero
have?
after that. He
Oh
only had the
wow.
one catch.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, he has been more involved lately. That might have been more game flow dependent because, like you said, they went to Jordan Howard. So I'm still fine draft or I'm not drafting, but starting both of them this week is my RB2. I
Okay.
mean,
I have them
up
both as
against Buffalo.
RB2s as well, but I think some people are looking at this game and going, "Oh, maybe these guys are like really good DFS plays or RB1s," and I don't think that is, and I don't know that you can start any wide receiver in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable doing it. I mean, we saw Allen Robinson miss the game last week, so chalk play of the week was Taylor Gabriel, and he was very underwhelming. So I'm with you on this wide receiver core. Like if I'm throwing a
It's all
dart in
about
DFS.
Trubisky. I mean, Trubisky, if we talk about taking away that one play from Cohen, if we take the same play away from Trubisky, Trubisky then throws for 150 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, very underwhelming.
You
If
know,
I,
he had almost a 50% completion rate. That's
that's the guy he is,
atrocious.
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does. But if I'm throwing a dart in this wide receiver core, I think I'm throwing it at Anthony Miller. He's going
Yeah.
to stay away from Tre'Davious White, and that's the one guy on Buffalo's secondary
He
that's
led
pretty
the team
decent.
on targets last week, so
Yeah.
yeah.
So if you're throwing a dart in DFS.
Yeah, probably. I think I'm probably staying away from this game completely, but that's just me. Bears at the Bills, who you got?
I think Chicago wins, but that spread is too big for me. I'm gonna say Buffalo covers.
I don't think Buffalo covers this one. I think the Bears win outright and cover. So, all right, let's move on to Kansas City at Cleveland. Can anybody stop Patrick Mahomes?
No, he's proven it week in and week out, and he's getting so all of his guys involved now. We saw Sammy Watkins last week. We know what Tyreek Hill can do. Kareem Hunt has come on, the past 6 weeks whenever he started off real slow. Travis Kelce, I mean, everyone that's on that offense is viable starters every week, no matter their matchup proof.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Is he the number one quarterback in fantasy for the rest of the season?
I haven't seen the schedule, but I'm pretty sure he plays the Raiders, so that
I think
probably
he plays the
sways the
Raiders
bar.
twice.
That probably sways the bar.
Week 13 and week 17. So,
oh yeah, he's for, the number one. For the, well, for those fantasy. Of you,
well, and here's the thing: do the starters in Kansas City play in week 17?
Yeah, and if your league plays in week 17, you probably you have need a to garbage that league. Going in. Yeah, go into next year and change that for sure.
Yes, garbage league.
Because we're going to see, like you just said, does the Kansas City starters, and that's the guys that got you to the championship game. Mm-hmm. So you want to have them for your championship.
There's
and
a chance they don't play 16 or 17.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that division is pretty much theirs. I mean, they need, what, one or two more wins, and everyone else loses, and they probably lock it up. So
well, the Chargers are 5-2, aren't they?
Oh, the Chargers. Yeah, I forgot about the Chargers. I keep thinking about the Raiders, and you keep putting me down that road. I don't know why. I mean, I watched Thursday. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, Chargers are 5-2, so two games mm-hmm. back of I guess game and a half back of Kansas City, who has a week 12 bye. But Kansas City's schedule rest of the way is either versus powerhouses or versus cakewalk teams. They got Cleveland, Arizona, then they're at the Rams. They've got a bye week, then at Oakland, home versus Baltimore, home versus the Chargers, at Seattle, home versus Oakland. I think he's the number one quarterback rest of the way, and I don't know that it's particularly close.
Yeah, and two of those matchups you said that were kind of, you know, a little bit worrisome were the Ravens, but they get them at home mm-hmm. in Arrowhead, and then the Chargers where they get at home in Arrowhead. So the Rams game is going to be a shootout. There's no doubt about that. There is something going on Twitter about the last time Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield played against each other, where they had over 1,200 yards of offense, and it's college football. Yeah. So, you know, we can take that with a grain of salt, and Cleveland is in such a disarray right now with Greg Williams being their head coach. Have they even announced who their offensive coordinator is going to be now?
I don't think you need one, do you? I mean, they were tempted to give play-calling duties over to Hugh Jackson, so at that point you might as well just give up, right?
Yeah, just let Baker Mayfield just go play backyard football out there.
You're pretty much starting everybody on both these teams. I mean, you're starting, obviously starting Mahomes, Hunt, Hill, Kelsey on Kansas City. You're obviously starting Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Njoku on Cleveland. I think the real question is, there's one for each team. Are you starting Sammy Watkins and are you starting Antonio Callaway?
I'm starting Sammy Watkins. He's been hit or miss, but there was a tweet that compared his stats with Tyler Lockett's stats, I believe, this year, and they basically have the same amount of points. It's just Sammy Watkins is hit or miss. Like, he had that huge game last week. He put up a zero 3 or 4 weeks ago. But with this offense, I think Denzel Ward is the real deal. Now, can he keep up with Tyreek Hill? That's the problem. No one can. But you know, put Sammy Watkins against the second cornerback in Cleveland. I think he's involved in this offense that we saw that he can do last week.
He gets TJ Carey. So,
oh, an ex-Raider. Yeah, look at you go, Justin.
And he's easily the weak spot in this really impressive Cleveland secondary. Mm-hmm. So I think he's a boomer bust wide receiver 3 for me. I marked Hill down to a wide receiver 2 for this game because of the matchup versus Denzel Ward, who I think is outpacing everybody for Defensive Rookie of the Year at this point.
Definitely.
Still starting both, though, obviously. I think I am not starting Callaway. The target counts have been so crazy for the receivers in Cleveland. It changes every week. It changes on a dime. I know he caught 5 passes last week. He could not get targeted at all. He was completely ignored the previous week. Had, I believe, 0 targets or 1 target the week before. So I'm staying away from Callaway.
Yeah, I am too. Give me a Chicago wide receiver over Callaway.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd do that, but yeah, no, I probably would. All right. Kansas City at Cleveland. Who you got?
Another big line. Whenever I bet it, I think it was still 9, right?
I have it at 8.5.
8.5, yeah. Kansas City.
I'm taking Kansas City to cover. Jets at the Dolphins. What do you got for this one?
Very uninteresting. I think New York is going to handle this game fairly well. Elijah McGuire coming off of IR, and I believe he's going to get the work share of the touches for New York. You know, Crowell is Crowell. McGuire showed some flash last year. I drafted him in the best ball.
The Bilal Powell of this offense?
Yeah, or more. I could see him overtaking, you know, the number one running back the rest of the year. So if he's out there in a deeper league, which he might have been picked up, you know, last week just based off of coming back to practice and running back needy teams losing, you know, losing guys to injury, losing guys to bye weeks this week. But if he's out there in deeper leagues, I'm picking it up and I'm stashing him. You know, a guy that we've been talking about stashing, Deontay Foreman, I think I'd rather have McGuire the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go that far, but I understand why, especially if you're needy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But I think the upside on Foreman is so much greater than a guy like McGuire.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Foreman. Me and you both are. I mean, we've talked about it already, but for a guy like McGuire, I think coming off IR, basically going into a pretty decent situation with just Crowell in front of him. You know, last year he played
with... You
don't
like Trenton Cannon?
No, not a Cannon fan. but last year there was a three-headed monster there too, and he still found some way into that offense. So he's a guy that I'm looking at. You know, on New York side, that's probably it. I mean, maybe Chris Herndon. He's got two touchdowns the past two games, and it's a tight end.
I got Herndon starting in the league for a bye week fill in. So
yeah. It's tight end position.
Yeah, I don't mind him at all. I think that, like I said, the Jets, I think, handle this game fairly easily, especially on the Miami side of the ball. Brock Osweiler in a game where they played the Texans and the total points was 65 points scored. Osweiler had 7.6 fantasy points.
Hey, that's better than Derek Carr.
Oh my God. How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's Brock Osweiler. He's so overrated, but he's a backup quarterback, so what do you expect? But the big thing for me is Kenyon Drake. Is he back to being every week starter RB2 the rest of the year?
No, I think that was completely game script.
Yeah,
I think if they'd not been trailing that much in the game, he would have seen a third of the carries that Gore saw. And I think a lot of people are going to get really psyched because he, you know, they split carries equally, and he caught passes and he scored two touchdowns, and people are going to throw him in their lineup this week and be extremely disappointed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't jump back on the trust wagon for Kenyon Drake. You know, he's going to be a flex play for me if I have him. I mean, this week you probably don't have a choice. I'm staying away from him DFS for sure. Yeah, I mean, Gore is just cutting way too much into his workload for me to like at all.
What are you doing with Devontae Parker?
So I put in some claims for him this week, but I had Sutton obviously ranked over the claim for Parker, and I got Sutton in both those leagues. So I wouldn't mind picking him up. I am scared that last week was a flash in the pan, and it was kind of to portray him for the trade deadline, which they didn't move him for. I don't like his target share. I don't think he's going to be that involved every week. It's Brock Osweiler. Even if they go back to Ryan Tannehill, I don't think that they can get him the ball on a consistent basis for me to be super excited about putting him in my lineup, except for as like a wide receiver 3 or a flex in a PPR.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's a wide receiver 3. While he went off versus Houston a little bit, a large portion of that production came on one play, which was a tipped pass from Jakeem Grant that somehow landed like 20 yards later in Parker's arms. So you're not going to see that a lot. He still has difficulty getting off the line. He's not necessarily a great route runner. He's just a fantastic athlete, but he just hasn't been able to take advantage of his athleticism because he's been injured. I still think if Kenny Stills returns this week, he is probably the third wide receiver in an offense that has Brock Osweiler throwing the ball.
Yep.
So, all right. Jets at the Dolphins. Who you got?
The Jets.
Jets as well. Do you think the, let's see. Oh, the Dolphins are favorite. Oh,
yeah, I think it's a 3-point.
Yeah, 3 points, red.
Yeah.
All right. Lions at the Vikings. What you got?
Let's look at this Detroit offense. I mean, they get rid of Golden Tate, which was weird. Our boys Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay gonna fight it out to the finish and see who comes out on top of that
Yeah,
board bet.
I don't understand the trade. I understand the Lions are 3-4. They've definitely got some serious holes on this team. But they're a game behind the Bears in the division. The whole division is either 4-3 or 3-4. The Bears are 4-3. The Vikings are 4-3-1. The Packers are 3-3-1. Lions are 3-4. Why are you trading Golden Tate for a draft pick?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, it's not like they had someone crazy good that's just been sitting on the bench. I mean, they had TJ Jones. Like,
Yeah.
it's not a great fit, you know what I mean? I mean, Golden Tate was their number one option out of the slot, and now I could see them moving Marvin Jones into the slot a little bit more. Kenny Golladay is obviously an outside receiver, but that downgrade is significant, and that division is up for grabs. I mean, they have a division game this week up against Minnesota, and you know, they could, if they win that game against Minnesota, they're right back in it. And
I
getting rid of
don't.
Tate, yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense. Unless they think their tight end, Michael Roberts, is the real deal. He's the next Eric
Jesus,
Ebron.
yeah, no. Just, I mean, this hurts you if you're a Matthew Stafford owner. Honestly, I think this hurts you if you're a Golladay owner, because I think while Golladay may get some extra targets, it wasn't like Golladay was hurting for targets to begin with. There's gonna be a lot more eyes on Golladay now. I don't think this helps anybody, and it just doesn't make any sense from a straight football perspective. This is a team that can compete.
Yeah, do you like it if you own Golden Tate?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Not
You
only
know,
do you have to
he's
suffer through two straight bye weeks, which just totally blows, I don't know that he's going to see the level of targets that he saw in Detroit. Because you have Zach Ertz, who kind of dominates a lot of those, over the middle and shorter targets.
So here's a weird one. Two top wide receivers get traded during the season. Who do you got the rest of the year? Amari Cooper or Golden Tate?
Oh, Golden Tate, and it's not close.
Okay. I think I'm with you just because Dallas is atrocious and I hate Dallas, but
It's the offensive scheme that Dallas runs. Dallas does not want to throw the ball. Like, Matthew Stafford could throw more attempts in the first half of a game than Dak will throw an entire game. It's just
Yes.
the volume is huge. So, or and same thing in Philadelphia. So, I mean, obviously that's where
Yeah.
Tate's going. But yeah, the scheme. We'll get to that game later on in the podcast. But
Yeah.
like I, the scheme that they run, like I don't understand what they were thinking when they made that trade either. A lot of
Oh, I
these
love
trades
it.
were head scratchers. Well, of course you
Yeah.
love it. You got a first round pick at it, and Dallas sucks. Dallas is going to have like probably a top 10 pick, if not a top 5 pick.
Yep, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, I guess they won't have a top 5 pick, but they'll have a top 10 pick, and they just gave away a player who's going to be a free agent after 2019, and got a first round pick out of it. Makes no sense. None of these. God, who are running these NFL franchises?
Oh man, it was a crazy crazy off season, crazy start of the season, and then of course crazy trade deadline. I mean, getting these guys moved. But let's jump back into this game. So Detroit at Minnesota,
Kerryon
Kerryon
Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah,
Kerryon Johnson, my boy. I know he struggled last week. I think this is going to be a nice bounce back game. Minnesota's defense has played pretty well as of late. But I think they're going to feed him. I think if the Golden Tate trade means anything, it means that they want to focus on running the ball.
I hope you're right. I love watching Kerryon Johnson. I mean, he's electric and he actually hits the hole. He's not like a Reggie Bush type, and that's what you think, you know, whenever you see him sprinting down the field every time he gets the ball, but he can put his nose in there. But the problem that I'm seeing this week, Minnesota top five run defense as far as yards go, for the year. I'm a little bit nervous that they're going to keen in on Kerryon Johnson, and I'm probably going to stay away from him in DFS. I'm feeling a board bet coming on for this week.
I mean, I have him as an RB2, so what do you want to do?
Oh, I mean, top 20. I'll say he's outside the top 20.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. Just because I have him a lot of places. I really love the talent. I think this is going to be a shootout, and therefore it's going to be a theoretic game if he gets on the field. I don't know if he's questionable still. But I think Galladay has a big game. Marvin Jones has a big game. And Matt Stafford. Probably Michael Roberts, too.
Yeah, I'm not starting Stafford. I mean, unless I'm in a two QB league, I have Stafford as a QB too.
See, I had the choice of him or Derek Carr, and I chose wrong, I
Oh,
think.
yeah, that was a really bad choice. But
Yeah.
on the Viking side of the ball, we got Dalvin Cook, or Latavius Murray, who are kind of the top two options. I don't know if Cook is going to play, but if he
So there was a
does,
report 15 to 20 snaps for Dalvin Cook.
oh, so you
It's one
can't
of
start him.
those. Now, going into a bye week, I don't know why they're even going to play him. Like, just let him rest another 2 weeks. What's it going to hurt?
Yeah, I got a feeling he's not going to play.
Yeah.
So would you start Latavius Murray then?
I think I would. It's a little scary whenever you hear that 15 to 20 snap because as soon as Dalvin Cook comes in and if he springs like a 40-yarder, you know they're not going to take him out of the game. But I'm with you. I think they're going to be conservative. Like, why would you play him a big workload going into a bye week whenever he's barely played this season?
Yeah.
So I'm fine starting Latavius Murray. Although I think it's going to be a shootout. So unless he gets a couple 1 yard touchdowns, I think Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, it's going to be a big game for them.
This is my last week trusting Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, I'm with you. I did a gut play a couple weeks ago in DFS and just put Kyle Rudolph in like all my lineups just because you think that that game's coming, you know? Kirk Cousins, he used the tight end so much in Washington, you know this.
But
And Kyle Rudolph
he hasn't at
is.
all because Thielen is taking all those short and intermediate targets.
Yeah, I mean that's true, but I mean Kyle Rudolph is not a pushover. Like we've seen him be a top 5 to 8 tight end the past couple years, and so you would think that they would make a game plan to get him incorporated, especially in the red zone too.
Yeah,
So,
but
I mean, that
they're
game's
not. I mean,
coming.
that's the at the end of the day, you have to go with what you're seeing on the field. I know people are, finally talking about this with Gronkowski. At the end of the day, you got to start looking at what's happening on the field. Kyle Rudolph is currently, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th tight end in scoring in PPR formats this year.
It doesn't even feel like that. It feels like 20th.
Yeah, it does. Well, and he's got guys. I mean, the problem is, like, there aren't 20 tight ends that you
Yeah.
can use for
I'm
fantasy. I
sure
mean,
Eifert's like tight end number 11 still or something.
he's right below Evan Ingram.
Oh, wow. That would have been a crazy board bet.
Yeah, that's let's see, 11, 12, 13, 14, 2, 23, 24. Evan Ingram is the number 24 tight end. Tyler Eifert, who is on IR for those who don't know, is number 15.
And then
So,
Michael Roberts
or
is probably
25.
right above them. Like the tight end position just stinks. Just
Yeah,
all over.
it's really,
It's
really bad.
like,
When Dallas Goedert is like the 13th tight end.
and he's Philadelphia's fifth option, sixth option. Like
Yeah.
that's bad. So, okay, tight end position or catcher?
Oh,
Which one's the worst?
catcher's way worse.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at least you don't see any two tight end leagues out there.
I had a buddy who invited me to a league once that had two tight ends and a punter position, and I was like, I will not play in this format.
Oh yeah, that's awful. Do you
What were you gonna say? Go ahead.
think Adam Thielen gets the record this week
I think
up
he.
against Darius Slay?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, I think so too. Darius Slay hasn't been very good this year, so
And
and.
Slay's a good player, but I mean, there's only so much you can do when a guy like Thielen is getting anywhere from, 10 to 15 targets a week.
Yeah, he's been my lock in DFS pretty much the last 5, 6 weeks.
Yeah. Remember when people were questioning whether
Diggs was the guy.
Thielen or Diggs was the guy?
Yeah, they didn't listen to our
They
podcast
did
early
not.
on in the season.
All right. Lions at the Vikings, who you got?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I got Minnesota winning this one and covering the spread, which is
5.
4.5.
Yeah, it was 5 for me, so I'm still comfortable either way.
Let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons at my 5-2 Washington Redskins. I don't know how my Redskins are 5-2.
Adrian Peterson, baby.
It's absolutely insane to me. Why don't we start with my Redskins, because I think it'll be a quick conversation. You can start Adrian Peterson, and that is it.
That's it. I mean, we were so wrong on Jamison Crowder. Jordan Reed, we thought, you know, if he could just stay healthy. Well, he's been healthy, but he's atrocious. Like, and
there's no passing offense.
No, there's none. So I agree with you. How are you 5-2 whenever I have Derek Carr?
That's the defense.
And I'm 1-8.
The defense is playing really, really well.
Yeah, your run defense has been great.
All the defense. I mean, outside of that one game at New Orleans when Drew Brees set the record, the pass defense has been fantastic. The run defense has been amazing. This is one of the best defenses in the NFL right now, and no one's talking about them.
Yep.
And I think they're going to win the division, in spite of the fact that Alex Smith is atrocious and I hate him.
He just keeps winning divisions, and I hate that too, because he was winning my division way before it was cool to win the NFC East.
He has 8 touchdowns this year and 2 interceptions. I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes has done that in a game.
Yep. almost in a half, probably.
Is this the only time I can't remember ever seeing... it's probably not true, but I was about to say, it seems really weird to me when I sort by points, fantasy points by team, to see Adrian Peterson above Alex Smith. Like, how often does a quarterback get outscored by their, you know, RB2 running back?
So, I'm sure Chris Thompson has him outscored, too.
It's close, but Chris Thompson's missed, like, 4 weeks of the season.
And it's still close. That's the problem.
it's unfortunate. I mean, Josh Doctson has some talent. You know, Crowder has been hurt. Jordan Reed hasn't done much, but it all goes on Alex Smith's shoulders. I'm waiting for them to get into a game in which they have to throw, and I think this could be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta has legit, offense. Their defense is banged up. They're coming off a bye week. I think this is a week in which Alex Smith may have to throw. You still can't start anybody. I think you're starting Doctson if you're desperate, but. This may be a week where Alex Smith has to throw, and we have to see if he can still do it.
Does that make you nervous to start Adrian Peterson at all, or no?
No, because I think they're going to he'll get plenty of work. Chris Thompson, I believe, has already been ruled out for this week.
Yep.
Crowder's been ruled out. Adrian Peterson is going to get plenty of run, and then he'll get some work in the passing game. I even think Capri Bibbs might be an interesting guy in deeper PPR formats.
Yeah, he's shown some flash whenever Thompson's been out. Mm-hmm. I think Atlanta wins this game.
I do too.
And it's crazy because they usually suck on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that you can always fall back on. But that offense has not been the problem there. Yeah. And I think even if Alex Smith has to try and keep up with them against this defense, I don't know if he can.
Yeah.
Going up against Atlanta's atrocious defense. But... yeah, I'm starting every Atlanta Falcon I have. Ito Smith is a very deep flex play for me. I'm not very high on that.
I don't know if I'm starting Calvin Ridley.
Why?
I just think the addition of Clinton Dix and Swearinger over the top is going to make it hard for him to get free deep.
Who's the cornerback on the other side of Norman?
Greg Stroman, who's atrocious.
Okay, yeah. I'm starting Ridley, and Norman should shadow... Julio Jones. Yeah, I'm starting
really, really well this year.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Julio Jones. Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting all my Falcons.
Are you starting Coleman too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's RB2 for me.
Falcons at the Redskins. The Redskins are 1.5-point favorites. We're both taking Atlanta.
Yep.
All right.
Do you want to do a Coleman versus Kerryon too while we're on that train?
No.
No?
No, I'm okay with that.
All right.
Well, actually, wait, I get Kerryon, right?
Yeah, you get Kerryon. I'll take Coleman.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, cool.
Let's talk about the Panthers hosting the Bucks. Panthers offense has really started to get going. The Bucks defense still sucks, so you starting all your Panthers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in a league where I have George Kittle and Greg Olsen, and I started Kittle, and I'm probably going to put Olsen in my flex.
I'm starting Olsen in a couple leagues. I'm also starting DJ Moore in a couple leagues. Funchess... I'm a little bit wary after him only getting three targets last week, but I still think he's a wide receiver three. McCaffrey, running back one this week, in spite of him not looking extremely impressive, at least rushing the ball. You're obviously starting Cam Newton. I just think you got to start everybody against this Tampa Bay defense. The question becomes, who are you starting out of Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzmagic back under center?
I'm leaning Godwin, Evans, and is Barber playing? I don't know if I got an update for that yet.
I believe
I saw, yeah, he is playing. Yeah, I'll probably start.
Ronald Jones is out for sure.
Oh, yeah, Ronald Jones is out. So Barber, flex play, and then, you know, bye week fill-in, Fitzmagic.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
It's better than Derek Carr.
That is true. And Fitzpatrick, you know, I have to sometimes remind myself that it's okay to be a bad real-life quarterback if you're a good fantasy quarterback, because Fitzpatrick is not a good real-life quarterback. But dude can he's gonna throw it up. He's going to throw some interceptions, but he's also going to throw some touchdowns. I think this is a game in which that could easily turn into a shootout. I think Fitzpatrick is going to get plenty of work. I actually wouldn't start Barber if I had a better option. I think he's an RB3 this week. I just think that Carolina defensive front is gonna hold people back, and I think when Carolina jumps out, they're gonna have to abandon the run. So I think you're starting Godwin. I think you're starting Jackson. You're definitely starting O.J. Howard, but I'm leaving Barber on the bench.
Yeah, I hate starting DeSean Jackson. I really wish you got it.
It's super boom or bust, and it is a tough matchup this week with Dante Jackson. So, like, if you've got better options, I don't mind sitting him. But he's had a really good rapport with Fitzpatrick this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's been so boom or bust. And DFS, probably. Season long, I can't do it. I mean, this is like must-win week for most people in season long. And so if you're throwing out DeSean Jackson, there's a great chance he's going to win you your week. But then there's another chance that he's going to put a goose egg up, and that's just going to tank the rest of your season. So Cam Newton, number one overall quarterback this week for you?
No, Mahomes is my number one overall quarterback every week.
Okay. All right.
So, but I can understand why you would do that.
Yeah.
All right. Panthers hosting the Bucks. Who you got?
Panthers.
Panthers. Let's talk about the Steelers at the Ravens. What are you doing with James Conner? I know, like, everybody's loving him after last week, and there was this big argument on Twitter about who called the James Conner love first and who were the people that were on him.
Who cares?
Like, first of all, yeah, one, who cares? And two, why are you waiting till week nine to call this one? Because if you look at Pittsburgh's schedule rest of the way, it's not going to be great for James Conner.
Yeah. And the only reason they're doing it is because they lucked out and Le'Veon Bell hasn't come back yet. That's the only reason they're doing
Le'Veon
it now.
Le'Veon should be back after this week. So, like, if you haven't sold James Conner right now, you're running out of time to do so.
Yeah, this is the definition of playing with house money. You played with it first 8 weeks, get rid of it now. Like, cash out.
I traded James Conner in a league before last week, and I don't even feel bad about it. Like,
who'd you get?
I got Eric Ebron and Ridley.
Oh, preseason. God, can you imagine that trade? Like, everyone would just...
And people were upset about it in the league, and I'm just like, you know, and it helped the dude win last week because he scored like 38 points in PPR. I won my week. I don't care. And he knocked out the team that was in first place in the league. So, like,
well, there you go.
It worked out well. And Le'Veon's either going to come back and they're going to split, or James Conner is going to have to listen to this schedule moving forward. This week at Baltimore, next week home versus Carolina, the week after that at Jacksonville, then at Denver, which is a good one. And then there are the Chargers, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Saints. So he's got a couple good ones. But when these bad ones happen and then Le'Veon comes back, they're either splitting or he's giving the time back to Le'Veon. So I'm totally fine with moving on from James Conner.
Yeah. And I'm this
game.
I would
take James Conner, or I mean, I would take Kerryon Johnson this week over James Conner.
Oh yeah, I think I'm with you there. I mean, this game has notoriously been a bloodbath. Like between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you know you're going to get, you know, a low scoring defensive football game. That being said, I have no problem starting Juju Smith-Schuster. He has shown this year he's a top 15 to 20 wide receiver moving forward, especially in dynasty leagues. I mean, he's younger than pretty much everybody. And so, yeah, I have no problem starting him. Ben Roethlisberger is right there as a QB1 just because of bye weeks. I mean, this matchup is a little bit crazy. I don't mind starting each defense either.
Yeah, I don't know that I would start.
I mean,
I'd
it's
start
scary.
The Steelers defense. I don't know that I would start the Ravens defense. Well, I guess if you got the Ravens defense, you're starting them, right?
Yeah. And as soon as you put them on your bench, they're going to have that 10 sack performance that they had a few weeks ago.
And it's in Baltimore, so it's not like, you know, it's not like Big Ben gets the home cook in. So yeah, I probably would start them.
Right.
What are you doing with these Baltimore running backs? Because all of a sudden, Buck Allen doesn't have a role anymore.
Yeah, you're forgetting the most important one, Ty Montgomery.
Oh, my God.
No, but there is an interesting. Alex Collins, he missed practice up until today. He was a full participant, but Friday is usually a walkthrough day. So that's something to keep an eye on. And luckily, this is an early game, so you'll know before you have to set your lineup for the rest of the week. But there's a chance that he misses this game. So if he misses this game, it just muddies the water even more for me. I mean, yes, Buck Allen should be the guy to play on paper, but as soon as you put them in your lineup, you know what's going to happen. I mean, they're either going to abandon the run completely, they're going to incorporate Ty Montgomery way too much. Like, that, either one of those things is probably going to happen more than Buck Allen having a great game.
Yeah, Buck Allen had that touchdown on the opening drive, and then he was never heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty much done with Allen. Though, I mean, I haven't been the Allen guy all season long, so I'm not too worried about it. Flacco, I think, is a QB1 this week. He went off last time they played, so I think that there's a chance he does that again. John Brown. John Brown is wide receiver 2 this week. He's got a great matchup with Sensabaugh. He should have another opportunity for a huge game. There's obviously some risk, but John Brown has been fantastic this year. People aren't talking about how great he has been, and I think he is going to be great again this week.
Yeah, I think I saw last week that he was like top 5 in air yards. So that's just telling you the type of targets he's getting. So I'm staying away from Crabtree. I was completely wrong on him. I thought he was going to be a wide receiver 1 in that offense this year. But look, the Raiders did something right.
He's a low ceiling, high floor guy.
Yeah, the Raiders did something right by getting rid of him. And then Willie Snead is, I have no interest. So yeah, I'm with you on John Brown.
Yeah. All right. Steelers at the Ravens. Who you got?
Give me the Steelers.
I say the Ravens barely squeak this one out.
I see. Steelers are on too much of a run right now. I think I should have started Lamar Jackson over Derek Carr this week.
this joke is not going to get old for me. Houston Texans at the Denver Broncos. Let's start with a trade, because the Broncos trade Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans the week they're going to play them, which, again, insane. I don't understand how you do that, but okay. Does Sutton become the instant Hall of Fame wide receiver that everybody's saying he will on Twitter?
I don't think so, because of his quarterback. That being said, volume alone should give him fringe wide receiver 2 numbers, I think. Especially going up against Houston, that's going to be a shootout. Deshaun Watson is going to light up the scoreboard. Lamar Miller might also. I mean, going up against this run defense, which is atrocious. So, yeah, I think Sutton I'm putting right in my lineup if you got him on waivers. Still starting Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Lindsay for sure, and that's it on Denver side.
Yeah, I did a write-up on Sutton for Fantasy Alarm, and I think he would be a top 20 receiver with a competent quarterback. The problem is he doesn't have a competent quarterback.
Yeah.
And so he's a wide receiver 3 for me, so just outside probably my top 25. But he's got a ton of talent. He reminds me almost of Demaryius Thomas when Demaryius Thomas was young.
Except for he doesn't drop.
Yes. This is
Demaryius Thomas has always had the drops.
But Demaryius Thomas could take over a game, and I think Sutton's got the ability to do that. I just don't know that Keenum can get him the ball on a regular basis to be able to do that. So
yeah,
that's obviously, Sanders is the number one wide receiver in this league. He's a number wide, number two wide receiver in terms of fantasy. I think Sutton's a wide receiver three. Philip Lindsay should have a pretty decent day, in spite of the fact that Texans have been pretty stout up front recently. Mm-hmm. But Royce Freeman, I think, is likely going to be out again in this one, and they're only giving Booker, thank you, passing yards. So I think Lindsay's going to get a fair amount of work running back too. Demaryius Thomas, what are you doing with him in Houston?
I don't think you can start him this week. I mean, you're not the guy, Justin. You're not the narrative of revenge game or anything like that. And, I mean, he didn't have the bye week that Amari Cooper or Golden Tate's getting in order to learn the offense. So they're going to have some plays drawn up for him. But with Kiki Kuti coming back, I'm starting him over Demaryius Thomas.
I'm right there with you 100%. All right.
Yeah.
Let's pick the game. Texans at the Broncos.
What about Lamar Miller?
I think he's running back one this week.
Yeah, this great matchup. Yeah. I mean, it's Lamar Miller, but
Lamar Miller has produced the last few weeks. Let's not just say he's Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller ran for over 100 yards and a touchdown last week.
How confident are you in his game this Sunday?
I feel pretty confident.
Like McCaffrey versus him?
Ooh. In standard?
Sure.
Yes.
All right, I'll take McCaffrey.
Okay. I should probably be writing these down.
I got them written down. Good. I'll send you the screenshot whenever I'm, 4-0.
All right, good. All right, I'm in standard in PPR. Sure, I'll take McCaffrey probably because of all the catches McCaffrey can get. But McCaffrey is not running well on the ground, so I will take Lamar Miller in a standard format.
Yeah, I think it's a cush matchup. Probably going to be mostly my RB1 in most of my DFS lineups, and it's going to be popular, but I don't care. I think it's the chalk play, and we saw what the chalk play was the last time Denver played, and it worked out.
Yep, I completely agree. Texans at the Broncos. The Broncos are 1-point favorites for some reason.
Give me the Texans. Yep, a lot of the home teams are favorites this week. Like, that's what Vegas is looking at, just home teams.
I mean, away teams won more games last week, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. Chargers coming off the bye versus the Seahawks.
Another home favorite, which was crazy to me.
Why is this crazy? Why is this one crazy? Because Seattle's been playing some really good ball recently.
Because Los Angeles has lost to Los Angeles and Kansas City.
I understand, but they're also beating teams like the Raiders. So, like you can't say, well, they've only lost to really good teams. They've only beaten really bad teams.
Yeah. No, I think this is a blowout. I think Los Angeles controls this game from start to finish.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a believer in Seattle's offense.
Let's talk real quick about the teams that the Chargers have beaten. They beat Buffalo. They beat San Francisco. They beat Oakland. They beat Cleveland. And they beat Tennessee.
Okay, it doesn't sound as good. I'll give you that. But it was the 49ers with Garoppolo, I believe.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, I'm going to say that it was, and I'm going to feel a little bit better about it. No, I just don't believe in Seattle. Like, the defense is...
C.J. Beathard threw for 298 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. It was the first game he started.
No, I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I'm pretty sure the Chargers are going to dominate this game. Seattle cannot run the ball 70% of the time.
Give me the Seahawks +7.
Okay. Fuck it. I'll do it. I don't care. Like, what do I – there's no money on this. What am I going to do? I'm going to lose a profile picture on Twitter for a month? Like, who cares? I don't care. I'm here for the fans. Like, this is a fun bet.
Okay, keep talking.
All right, so Chargers. Well, hold on. I was going to go on a rant for Seattle. So I don't believe that they can run the ball like 70% of the time and still be successful. They have Chris Carson and Mike Davis. They don't have Todd Gurley. And they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I get that he doesn't have that great of weapons, but you have to utilize what he can do. And he's an improvisation master. David Moore has come on. Doug Baldwin, we haven't even seen the best of him yet. And Tyler Lockett has been there all year. So I don't understand, unless they move their offense into a more passing happy offense, I'm not gonna say that they're a dominant team. Like, they don't have the offensive line, they don't have the running backs that I can just straight up trust every week to give them a win.
Well, I think that part of this is they haven't had to do any of that. They've been able to grind it out. So, I mean, there are going to be games, obviously, in which the game script forces them to do other stuff. But, I mean, when have they been forced to throw the ball? They haven't been. And until teams force them to, I mean, they've played in teams like Arizona, and they've played, you know, Oakland and Detroit. They're playing a lot of teams with really bad run defenses.
How has every team played Oakland? Like, what is going on with that? Every team that you keep bringing up has played Oakland, and you focus in on that one game and just throw it back in my face.
It's just fun that way. Yeah, so I think until teams force them to throw the ball, they're not going to. Why would they? Their line is not good at pass protection.
All right, so this is the week that it's going to start. Chargers at the Rams versus the Packers at the Panthers. They are going to have to throw in all four of those games in order to win. So if they can change their offense completely and start throwing the ball, then I might believe in them as a real football team. As a fantasy side, I mean, I don't trust the running backs this week because, like I said, I think L.A. controls this game, and they're going to have to get away from the running backs. Tyler Lockett has been a wide receiver two basically all year, and he's been consistent. Somewhat boring, but consistent. And I know that hurts you to hear that because I know you're not a Tyler Lockett fan. But David Moore, he might be the guy in Seattle. Am I wrong?
I honestly don't know. I want to say no. It's really hard to tell if it's fact or fluke. Like, I don't understand how David Moore sees so many targets last week and Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett sees a total of four.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
It makes no sense. That being said, I'm not ready to buy in on it. I think that this week will be different and that Moore will go back to being kind of third fiddle, fourth fiddle in this offense, because you're also forgetting Ed Dixon has made an appearance after missing the majority of the season with injury, and he caught some passes, including a touchdown. So that being said, I don't know that any of these wide receivers are wide receiver twos. I think I think Baldwin and Moore are wide receiver fours. I think Lockett is a wide receiver three. Ed Dixon is a tight end two. I think the only people startable in the majority of formats are Russell Wilson and Chris Carson.
So you said that Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett saw four targets last week. Four of 17 passes that Russell Wilson threw. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good percentage if you lengthen it out to a real quarterback, an actual quarterback in today's offenses where they're throwing 30, 40 times.
Yeah.
But in this offense, it sucks to be a wide receiver. And unless they change their offense,
I mean, part of that was because the defense shut down Detroit so well and got really great field position. I don't know that happens this week versus the Chargers.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't, because Chargers are going to dominate.
I think this will be a better game in terms of the amount of passes that Wilson has to throw and the depth of targets. So I wouldn't worry that much. I don't think you can necessarily start the wide receivers outside of, you know, desperation mode, bye week fill-in type thing. But I think Russell Wilson will be fine. I think Chris Carson will be fine. The Chargers don't have a great run defense. It's, you know, middle of the road. So on the Charger side of the ball, which Williams brother do you trust?
Tyrell.
Okay.
I think you have to. I mean, Mike Williams came on early, but it's been Tyrell the past few weeks. I'm starting him this week. I don't feel comfortable starting him every week, but in the right matchup. I know it's at Seattle. That probably scares a lot of people, especially the people that are in Vegas, because they have Seattle as a favorite. But I'm starting Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen, and Tyrell Williams this week, and there's no sweat.
Okay. I think Phillip Rivers is a quarterback too. I'm not starting him.
Okay, I'll take that bet.
Oh, okay, top 12?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, you are obviously taking the Chargers over the Seahawks. I believe the Chargers will win as well, but I don't think they're going to cover the 7 that you just gave me. So.
Yeah, of all teams that we talked about today, I did not think I was going to go on a rant on the Seattle Seahawks.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, buddy. Let's move on to probably my favorite game to watch this week, which is going to be the Rams at the Saints. What do you got in this one?
Start everybody. I mean, this just sit back and relax. I love that this is the 325 game because by then, LA Chargers will have a big enough lead that I can just turn them off after the 20 minutes and just watch this game. I'm so intrigued to watch this game, and then right after it, I'm going to Green Bay at New England. Mm-hmm. Like, sign me up this week, and then I'm just not going to watch Monday night. We won't even talk about that game.
Yeah, we got some pretty great games this week, and it really ends well on Sunday. Like I said, with the Rams and the Saints, and with the Green Bay Packers at New England. Obviously, I think we can go through this one fairly quickly. You're starting Goff, you're starting Gurley, you're starting Cooks, you're starting Robert Woods. I'm assuming you're starting Kupp.
Yep. He's good to go.
Reynolds goes back to being a stash play in case someone gets hurt. Mm-hmm. You're starting Breeze, you're starting Ingram, you're starting Kamara, you're starting Michael Thomas. The question becomes, are you starting Cameron Meredith, and are you starting Tre'Quan Smith?
I'm starting Tre'Quan Smith. Yeah, I don't believe in Cameron Meredith this year. I think it was a smart sign.
He didn't record a catch last week.
Yeah, it was a smart sign by New Orleans, but I think this should just be a lost year for him, and he can come out, you know, next year and be even better. But yeah, Tre'Quan Smith for me, he's a wide receiver 3 for me this week.
Yeah,
like there's going to be a lot of points scored, and in most of my bets this week, I did not feel comfortable taking this game or the next game, but I was super comfortable taking the over in both of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's going
to
be
a
shootout. I would
take the over in the Packers-Patriots game, but we'll get to that next.
Yeah.
Completely agree with you. I have the Saints winning this one 33-30. Mm-hmm. So you're taking the over. I'm taking the Saints to win this. You're playing everybody. Let's just move on. Rams at Saints, who you got?
You know what? Give me the Rams.
I think the Rams keep the undefeated going. I think the home cooking gets Saints over the top on this one.
Yeah.
Packers at the Patriots. I know you said that you think this is going to be a huge scoring game. I think it could be. What is the over under on this one?
56.5.
Yeah, no. See, I'm going under on that.
Oh, I'll take a bet on that.
All right.
Let's do it.
You said 56.5?
Yeah, 56.5.
All right. What do you got in this game?
Green Bay, so Allison is doubtful. Cobb is questionable, just like every week. So it's going to be the Scantling, and it's going to be the St. Brown. I mean, there's no Ty Montgomery anymore. We don't have to worry about that. A lot of people are thinking this is going to be Aaron Jones' breakout week. I don't know if I can get behind that whenever they're going to have to keep up with Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, it wasn't hard for the Bills to keep up with Tom Brady last week. Can I rant about Derek Anderson. That game actually
yes.
real quick? Because
Let's do it.
I forgot to do that when we were talking about Buffalo. Mostly because I forgot what happened. So I'm playing my best friend in 3 separate leagues. And it just happened the workout that way where we were playing against each other in 3 different leagues. I'm handily beating him in one. He's handily beating me in the other. Going into Monday Night Football for this third one, I have a 3-point lead. I have a 6-point lead. He has the New England Patriots defense and the Buffalo Bills kicker. Going into the fourth quarter, it is tied. We were completely tied in this matchup.
And you were done?
No, yeah, I was done. I didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
Derek Anderson throws that touchdown. It puts his, because he's got the defense of New England, it puts mm-hmm. him down 3 points.
Yep.
They reverse it. He throws mm-hmm. a pick six on the next play, and I lose by 10. That review cost me a win that week.
It wasn't even a close call, though.
No, I know, but just...
It shouldn't have been called a touchdown in the first place. Like, it was blatantly, like, bounced off the turf into the stands and then into his arms. Like, yeah. It was just so bad.
I know a lot of people were complaining about Todd Gurley not scoring that second touchdown, but really that one hurt way more than...
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be on an island on that one where the Todd Gurley and Jason Kroom one.
You got like 34 points from Todd Gurley.
Oh, I'm with you. I can't understand
people complaining about not getting six more for the touchdown. You got 30. It was the second highest point scoring of the season.
And it was the best play that he made all game.
It was unbelievable. It just, people just stop complaining about stuff. But anyways, I think this is a big week for Aaron Jones. Only because I think maybe they'll finally stop giving Jamal Williams work.
I just don't see him getting that many touches this week. This isn't a big touch week for Aaron Jones for me.
Why not? I don't understand like why you think that. Because for me, Aaron Jones, now with Ty Montgomery gone, he's going to get Montgomery's targets in the passing game.
Yeah, but that's not Rodgers' style. Like, he doesn't throw underneath. He well, not to the running back, but I just don't see, you know. I just don't see a way where Green Bay either wins this game or stays in it and Aaron Jones has a big game. I hope I'm wrong. Like I said, I mean, we've been saying it all year. We said, you know, at the start of the season, just go pick up Aaron Jones and stash him. Like, he's going to be a RB1 on that team the rest of the year. But I haven't seen it yet, and I don't think I'll see it up against New England.
He looked great last week. I just, you know, and that was versus the Rams. I know it was a close game, but he looked really, really good last week. I know that New England can shut down the run when they want. I think that he's going to be just fine. He's a running back. I will say it. Aaron Jones is a top 12 running back in week.
Oh, one. I'll take that. So, like I said, I hope you're right. I'm not starting him this week in the one league that I have him, but I think I have two better options. Other than that, on this offense, give me Jimmy Graham, give me Aaron Rodgers. Do you remember whenever I said you should drop Aaron Rodgers? That was fun. you're starting Davante Adams. I'm starting Scantling. Are you starting Scantling?
I mean, with Allison likely not playing, he is doubtful. And Cobb being iffy, it's kind of, well, Cobb had a full practice on Friday, so maybe not iffy. So it's a boom or bust kind of play. Dude has a ton of talent. I think he's a wide receiver 3. I really like the size and speed. He has unbelievable athleticism. You know, it's just a matter of whether or not he's going to get a ton of targets. With Allison out, he should. So, yeah, I think he's a wide receiver 3 for me. I think Jimmy Graham is no longer a tight end 1, though.
I don't see how you can say that.
I just did.
I mean, in the tight end landscape, you probably picked up George Kittle if you have Jimmy Graham. So, yeah, you can start Kittle over Jimmy Graham. But most people that drafted Jimmy Graham just drafted Jimmy Graham, didn't worry about a tight end. So, I don't see that there's a way that you can bench him. But as far as DFS goes, you can't trust him.
He's the 12th scoring tight end this year.
How about Jimmy Graham versus Rob Gronkowski?
As long as Gronkowski plays, I'll take that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll do it. I think I'm going to live and die on the Jimmy Graham bandwagon. I mean, you hopped off because I remember you saying.
No, I have not been a Jimmy Graham fan this year.
I think I'm going to listen back because you said that Jimmy Graham going to an Aaron Rodgers offense, he's not a tight end, he's a wide receiver. Yeah,
What I said was that people who were saying that you can't draft Jimmy Graham because Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers don't throw to the tight end. I said that wasn't fair because they've never had a tight end like Jimmy Graham.
So you love Jimmy Graham? That's what I got.
I was not a huge fan necessarily of Jimmy Graham. I just thought it was. I thought it was really shitty logic.
Yeah, you love Jimmy Graham. So New England. Sony Michel, is he going to play? If he plays, are you playing him?
If he plays, I'm playing him. You better feel pretty confident that he's playing, and I am pretty confident that he's playing before you throw him in your lineup. So, yeah. He practiced last week. This is just the annoying Patriots being, you know, cagey. I think he's playing.
Oh, I'm looking at the lineup that I have him in. I started Doug Baldwin over him. Ugh. or Doug Baldwin, Doug Martin.
I was about to say, I was like, you can still change that.
No, no, Doug Martin. We're not going to talk about the Raiders anymore. So, New England, Sony Michel,
he's
questionable.
Do you need me to take over your lineups for you?
No.
I feel like I need to have a mid-podcast intervention.
No, but I do have one for you where my Aaron Jones league, Jordan Howard, Nick Chubb, or Aaron Jones, pick two.
Chubb and Jones.
Yeah, that's how I figured you were going to go. I have it Howard and Chubb, but I could see myself changing it. Mm-hmm. So New England.
Yeah, what are you doing with the wide receivers in terms of obviously starting Hogan – or sorry, obviously starting Edelman. Do you trust Hogan? Do you trust Josh Gordon?
So the last thing that I heard is Edelman, Gronk, and Michelle are all questionable. Now, that's the Patriots
Every
thing
team
to do.
Is questionable. Like, I've got the Patriots lineup here with their designations. You've got Edelman, Gronk, Gordon, Cordell Patterson, Rob Housler, Greg Scruggs, Will Tye.
Wow, he's still in the NFL?
I guess so. Or no,
he's going to get a ring.
Jacob Hostler, Sony Michel are all questionable for this game. And that's just on their offense. I just have their offense up. So this is just them being cagey. Edelman will be fine. There's no reason to think that he's not going to play. No reason to think that Gronk should play as well. Patterson should play as well. I'm starting Gordon and I'm starting Edelman. I'm not going to play the game with Hogan.
You haven't even named their number one wide receiver. It's James White.
Well, James White is a running back two every week. If for some reason Sony Michel isn't playing, he becomes a running back one. Michel is a running back one for me as long as he plays.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I mean, New England can go at Green Bay any way they want, and they should win this game, but I'm just so excited to watch it.
Yeah, it should be fun. Who do you got?
Give me New England.
I'm taking New England. I think New England covers the 5.5.
Yeah, we got three bets on that one game.
Yeah, we have a lot of bets this week. This
yeah, so much easily... for my four. Keep it low and just kind of subtly. Yeah, that didn't work out.
I've got a seven-game lead on you in these bets, and we've got eight bets this week. So this is your chance to make up some ground.
Oh, yeah, and I will. And I will not bet on this next game unless you're willing to go all out on one of the Cowboys.
Nope. Tennessee Titans at the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to say it right now. There is not a single fantasy-relevant player on either team outside of Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know, like me, you have the ESPN schedule pulled up, and you know the little tickets column? So the average for the Sunday games is, like, you know, probably 1,600 tickets available. This one has 6,200 tickets available. I mean, that should just tell you everything you need to know. Like, why can't they flex in these Monday night games?
I wish they could. Could you imagine if they were able to move this Rams-Saints game into Monday night?
Yeah, and just have the Green Bay, New England, and then, you know, after that, L.A. and New Orleans. Like, that would be awesome.
Why not just do two Monday night games? That way you can flex.
They do the first week. Yeah, that's it. And the Raiders play every single one.
Why not do that all season long? And just flex it, you know, flex the better one to the later matchup.
Well, they got to incorporate these stupid Thursday night games and the stupid Monday games.
End the Thursday night game and do two Monday night games. Problem solved.
Yeah, except for the East Coast kind of doesn't like that.
Oh, that's right. East Coast people are so fucking whiny about it.
I know. I mean, they have Boston. Oh. They have New England.
How many people are complaining during the World Series? Oh, the games go too late.
Yeah.
You know, or people are like, what do you mean? I love the London games. I get a game at 9:30 in the morning.
No. Like, hell yeah. No. Oh, I want to sleep in, and then my body just wakes me up, and it's like, hey, there's a game on. You have to watch it.
And there's no way to stream them. There's no way to stream them. You can't do it.
Nope.
You know, you can stream Fox because Fox has got an app, but if it's on CBS, you cannot stream the game.
Yeah, and then last week they had the full NFL game day crew in there. Mm-hmm. That was something.
Though something happened with my NFL ticket last week, and they've given me the Red Zone and another fantasy channel or something.
You haven't watched either of those this whole season?
I don't watch the Red Zone or
wow.
No, I actually watch all the games.
Like, no,
I don't watch the Red Zone. I don't watch. I have on my TV there is a channel that breaks it up into eight games, and I watch each game at the same time.
Oh, no.
It's amazing.
God, no. I have that option, and I have two TVs in my living room. I have the Red Zone on one and then the local game on the other. And then if I need to, I have my iPad for a Sunday ticket.
Yeah, no,
I can't believe you've done this all without Red Zone.
Oh, I've never watched the Red Zone channel.
Oh, I love the Red Zone.
I tried it once, and I was like, nope, never doing this. I can't stand the announcers. It's hard to like actually watch what is going on and how people look when they're switching the games back and forth. And I prefer to watch that channel that shows me eight games at once. It's even better in the afternoon when there's only four games because it's even bigger squares. And I've got a second TV set up, so I can put my Redskins on that game, and then whatever I do.
Yeah,
this has been a really fun way about talking about the Monday Night Football game.
I mean, it's probably more interesting, honestly.
I just don't know that you can start anybody other than Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, I think if Corey Davis is going to get Byron Jones, who I have talked about.
Oh, I got one. I got one. Dallas defense.
I don't think I would start that. I think the Tennessee defense is the one I would start.
No, I'm starting the Dallas defense. Right. I have the Rams in one league, so I picked up Dallas. And then I had the Bengals because I was streaming them, so I picked up Dallas in two leagues.
They're both like really crappy defenses in terms of points scored this year in fantasy. So like, neither of them are top 15 defenses. Don't even worry about it. Like, it's just...
Go ahead and make your case for Corey Davis. I'll listen.
No. Like I'm saying, you can't start Corey Davis because Byron Jones is going to be shadowing him.
Oh, okay.
You can't start Mariota because we need to see what he looks like after the bye week. I know they've said that he's 100% and now has full feeling and movement in his hand.
Like, no, we know exactly what he looks like.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can't start him. You can't start either Tennessee running back because Dallas has actually been really good against the run this year. Mm-hmm. I think if you're looking for – if you're playing like DFS in the Monday night matchup, Tajay Sharpe is an interesting guy.
Yep, he's been getting a lot of targets and catches.
And I think Cole Beasley is an interesting DFS play.
Okay, I could see that.
But honestly, yeah, other than that, you're only starting Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, that is one thing that we need to probably tend to is that showdown matchup that DFS, that DraftKings does. I mean, I love playing that.
I hate it.
I mean, really?
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
We are completely opposite. Why are we on a podcast together?
I think it gives us a little...
yeah, that's probably why.
It's because we both have schedules that line up. That's pretty much the only
that's
reason.
True.
Otherwise, I'd be doing this with Mike Warner or Michael Alexander.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to put that out on Twitter. Team Red Zone or Team 8 Box, and then Team Showdown.
You'll win Team Red Zone. People love the Red Zone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, I mean, as a person who wants to dissect each game, like, watch...
You can do that later.
How
can you get the same content?
I do it later, but how do you know like what parts of games to go look at?
The highlights? I don't know. I mean, why the 8 box? It's like what? Like 10 by 10? It's a 10 by 10 box, so you're sitting right in front of the TV.
I have a gigantic TV.
Okay, so do I. But, I mean, I'd give me the Red Zone. Give me the full screen experience, and they're going to cut to the game whenever something happens.
This is easily the worst podcast we've ever done.
Anyways, so the showdown matchup on DFS, I love it. So throwing out those names like Tajay Sharpe, like Cole Beasley.
I don't like playing just one game. That's for me is the I don't like the one game matchups. For me, I think it becomes too much of a crapshoot.
See, I'm completely opposite. The 10-game crapshoot where one guy starts the third-string guy on Washington and he puts them in as their flex and then the defense is right. It's like sometimes it just becomes analysis doesn't even matter. And if you can sit down and analyze one game and say, okay, this is how everything should play out and then it works out perfectly, that's where I've won most of my money this week.
If you played last night, the dude who starts Mullins and...
Yeah, did you not see my Twitter
Kendrick
post?
Bourne, like, are fucking going crazy, you know?
I don't want to talk about last night. Like, exactly. How many times do I have to say that?
Like, the dude who left $10,000 on the table so he could start Mostert, Mullins and Kendrick Bourne and the Niners kicker. Like, won all the money in DFS last night. Like, because that's just the way it played out. And, like, that's why I hate the one-game slates.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good take from you.
That's okay. All right, Tennessee Titans at the Dallas Cowboys. We've offered no analysis.
Who cares? Let's keep it rolling. Who cares?
The Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites. I'm going to say the Titans win 16-13.
Who cares? I'm sticking with it.
All right. What do you got going on right now, Colin?
What do I have going on? So I'm not following the Raiders the rest of the year. I'm probably going to start transitioning into baseball because some of my season-long football hasn't gone the way I planned. But I am playing showdowns. Go play showdowns.
You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. I'm still writing over weekly at Fantasy Alarm. Got the baseball and football podcast going to Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Baseball over at FanGraphs. Got some articles going up there. Working on ranks for baseball. But yeah, football pretty much here in Fantasy Alarm. That's it. So.
Oh, we have something real cool coming out on Monday, actually, over at FWFB. What yes, we do. You don't know?
I don't know.
You do know.
What are we talking about?
30-team dynasty startup.
Oh, for baseball.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a podcast for that. So.
Yes, it's going to be excellent. We're going to throw some content out there so people can see how crazy this league is going to be. Mm-hmm. And if you're a baseball fan, you probably want to read it. I mean, it's probably going to be where people are starting, God, like what, a catcher in their flex position or their utility, maybe even two catchers in their utilities.
Honestly, and football people can probably just tune out now if you haven't already. I'm sure not many people made it through.
Yeah. The rants. I mean, just starting on the rants in Seattle, I'm sure they just turned it off.
Yeah, I'm sure not many people have gone through. But if you're a baseball fan, this, like, don't get me wrong, I'm super excited. I personally think this league isn't deep as it deep enough. Like we've totally pussied out on the roster requirements and everything.
Yeah, I mean you're kind of putting that out in the chat, and I'm with the three outfield settings. I mean five
no
outfielders
quarter infielder,
with
no middle infielder.
Like, okay, I might be on the bandwagon. I thought you were talking about the five outfielder thing, because that to me is too much.
If you want to do four outfielders or three outfielders, I'm fine with that. But like no middle infielder, no quarter infielder, I don't love that.
Yeah, I think I'd be on your bandwagon to put that one other position in there. I mean, we do have two utility spots, but just having, you know, that flexibility. I mean, granted,
I don't understand why we're doing that, and then we're still doing nine pitchers.
Yeah. I know. You have a lot of opinions on the setup.
I do. All right. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. For Colin and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.